All right, our next, sorry? Shut off the lights. Okay, yes. So our next speaker is Jinghua Xiao. Thank you.
Thank you. My topic today is measuring dynamic soil water evaporation. We measure it because soil water evaporation contributes both water and energy exchange between land and atmosphere, impacts temperature and water availability to all the chemical, physical, and biological processes occurring in the soil. So far, there are two common approaches for measuring it. One is water balance, like lysimeter and the soil water depression methods. They are to determine the water loss of evaporation by measuring other components of water balance. The other one is energy balance or macrometeorology. Bowen ratio and eddy covariance are based on it. They can be used to measure the soil water evaporation above the ground. But none of these methods can measure the dynamic soil water evaporation with time and depth. Our research group developed a new heat pulse method to measure the dynamic soil water evaporation with time and depth. Here is the probe we were using. Zooming in the small 3-needle sensor, we can see in each needle there is a thermocouple to measure the temperature at the 3-needle depth. And also, in the mid needle, there is a resistance heat wire. Once we applied a certain heat on it, then according to the temperature response at the outer needles, then we can measure the thermal properties between the needles. The basic theory of this method is to determine latent heat that for water evaporation based on sensible heat balance. Suppose the dashed lines here are the boundaries of a certain soil layer. Heat pulse probes can measure the sensible heat flux in H1 at the top boundary, and the sensible heat flux out, H2, at the bottom boundary. Also, the sensible heat storage change in this soil layer, delta S. If the net sensible heat flux, H1 minus H2, larger than the heat storage change, delta S, then we assume some water evaporate in this soil layer and consume the same heat. If they are equal, then we assume no water evaporation, no water condensation. If the net sensible heat flux is smaller than the heat storage change, then we assume some water condensed in this soil layer and released some heat. Take one single probe for example. Let's see how it works. The thermocouple in 3-needle can measure the temperature at 3 depths, 0, 6, and 12 millimeter depths, which can give us the temperature gradient at 3 and 9 millimeter. Then we applied a certain heat on the heat wire in the middle two, then we can measure the thermal conductivity lambda and heat capacity C between the needles 1 to 2 and 2 to 3. So according to Fourier's law, with the measured thermal conductivity lambda and temperature gradient at 3-9 millimeter, then we can solve the sensible heat flux at 3-9 millimeter. Also, according to the heat conservation equation, with measured heat capacity and temperature gradient with time, then we can solve the heat storage change in this soil layer, 3 to 9 millimeters. Finally, we can solve the latent heat in this soil layer. So a single probe can measure the water evaporation in a soil layer with time. In the field, if we install more these probes with different depths, then we can measure the water evaporation at different depths with time. So my research objective is to measure dynamic surface and subsurface soil water evaporation with Bowen ratio and heat pass methods. The Bowen ratio was used to measure the dynamic surface water evaporation, and the heat pass method was used to measure the evaporation at different times and depths at the subsurface. Here is the probes we installed in the field with different depths to capture the evaporation at different soil layers with time. All the probes were installed in the top 6 centimeters in the bare field. We did these measurements in 2 summer seasons. Here, I only show you a week data of a probe collected after rainfall. The top graph is the temperature at 3 depths, 0, 6, and 12. We can see that right after rainfall, when the soil is wet, the temperature altitude here is very small, and it increased with soil dries. And we can also see that the shallow depths has higher temperature altitude and also the temperature gradient. And during this time, we can see the heat capacity and thermal conductivity, they keep decreasing when soil is drying. So based on the temperature and the thermal properties measurements, we got the evaporation result with different soil layers with time, the heat pass method. Here, again, I only show you a week results in 4 soil layers. We can see here, this is the water evaporation rate was the days after rainfall. We can see the first few days, there is no water evaporation because when soil is wet, the evaporation occurs at the soil surface. And when soil begins to dry, here we can see the first soil layer begin to have evaporation and increased. And second soil layer also has part of evaporation. With soil continue dry, on day 5, the evaporation at the second layer is higher than the first layer. And meanwhile, the deep soil begin to have evaporation. And with the soil surface further dry, here we can see the first 2 layers, the evaporation kept decreasing, and the deep soil evaporation kept increasing. So this showed us a very reasonable dynamic soil water evaporation occurred in the subsurface. To see how good of this method, we compared the daily water evaporation 2 or 3 days after rainfall with 2 other methods. Here, the x-axis is the daily evaporation from the heat pass method. Y-axis is from the microlysimeter and Bowen ratio. We can see all the points are very close to this line here. We got the I square 0.95, about one slope and a very small intercept. So this indicated that heat pass methods has a very good agreement with microlysimeter and Bowen ratio methods. We also compared the cumulative evaporation from heat pass and Bowen ratio methods in a longer time. Here the red dots are the daily rainfall. The brown line, the brown curve, is the cumulative water evaporation from Bowen ratio method. That's the evaporation from soil surface to all downward. And the other curve are the cumulative evaporation we got from the heat pass methods. The blue line here is 3 millimeters below, pink 9 millimeters below, and 21 millimeters below. We can see all the data are very consistent. Let's see. Over the 20 days, the cumulative evaporation from Bowen ratio, the brown line, kept increased all the time. The cumulative evaporation at 3 millimeter increased at the beginning, and then a couple days of delay right after the big rainfall on day 173, and then began to quick increase for several days, and then still increase, but almost parallel to the surface cumulative evaporation until next big rainfall. And the cumulative evaporation at 9 millimeter, they're very similar at 3 millimeter, just a little bit of delay. And the cumulative evaporation at deeper also are very similar, just several days delay. So we can see that this graph showed us that following a rainfall, the evaporation occurs at the soil surface, then gradually shift to deep, the first layer, second layer, and then to deep layer. So although the two methods, the Bowen ratio and the heat pass method, although they are independent and with different scales, but the cumulative evaporation results are very consistent. So our conclusion is that heat pass probes can measure dynamic surface soil water evaporation with time and depth. And although the Bowen ratio and the heat pass methods have different scales, but the cumulative water evaporation results are very consistent. Finally, I want to thank the financial support from National Science Foundation and all the people helped this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have questions?
Very small question. You don't think that putting the TDR very, very close to the surface in depth of 3 millimeter will expose them to extreme drought? So they, if the soil is, you know, highly organic matter, it will shrink from the probes or the high clay also. So it will lose the contact with the sensor.
It's your question that we didn't measure the water evaporation about 3 millimeters.
If you put the TDR, if you put the probes in that depth, very close from the surface, and in the dry condition, you might dry the soil very much, or the air, actually, the sun might dry the soil very much, that you lose the contact with the sensor, or that's not an issue.
Soil sensor contact, how
about
the soil surrounding the probe?
We start the probes usually after rainfall. So they, at that time, the soil is wet, so the contact is still very good.
And after the drought, how it is?
So there's no shrink swell issue?
Oh, no shrink.
Okay, Gerard,
so if I understand your method right, your energy balance, you're not accounting for heat transfer due to the motion of a liquid phase.
No, we didn't consider that.
And so, right after the rainfall event was when you seemed to show the worst agreement between your energy balance method and the Bowen method, correct?
That's
when the agreement was poorest. It seems to me that's when you would most expect the contribution from, you know, the heat transfer just through the liquid phase. And I wonder if, have you attempted to compute what the possible contribution could be to the energy balance from heat transfer through the liquid phase, the motion of the liquid phase?
I think in here we didn't consider, but I think it's very interesting and important to figure out this.
Because the effect seems to be big enough that a bunch of people were chasing the measurement of water flux with temperature differences. So